Going to continue our journey today from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. We're going to, reading this morning again, is going to be kind of lengthy. Verses 1 through 15. But I think it's okay to read the Bible. What about you? God's Word has more to say than I do, so we're going to read it this morning. And where we are in this study is last week we left Moses on the mountain of God. And God has revealed to Moses that, Moses, I choose you to lead my people out of Egyptian captivity. You know what Moses said? Moses said, huh? Me? That's kind of where we are today. Who, me? We need answers. Just like Moses needed answers. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Exodus chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when it took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. And so he put his hand in his bosom again. And he drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they will, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry ground. The water which you take from the river will become blood on dry land. And Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And he said, oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right, let's start out a little differently this morning. You know how I am. I love different. How about you? Well, it doesn't matter. I'm leading this part of the service, so we're going to go with different. I would like to just start this message by challenging you to have a different mindset from the very beginning. Okay? I want you to open your mind to the possibility that there is more to life than where you are. That there's more to life than making a living, saving for retirement, paying the bills, getting up in the morning, laying down at night. Same old, same old. That there's, I want to challenge you from the very beginning just to consider, to entertain the idea that there's more. That God, and that more is that God has a special place prepared just for you in His kingdom ministry. Okay? A call, if you will, on your life. And when we start talking about the call of God, that language like that makes people really nervous really fast. Because there are thoughts that come to mind. What if God sends me to the other side of the world? What if He changes my lifestyle? What if I have to give up? What if I... You know, I just want you to entertain the idea. Okay? But in truth, that's kind of what happened to Moses here. He's on the mountain of God. God has told Moses, I choose you to lead my people. And all these questions begin to flood his mind. Oh no, what's next? What's happening? What if? And we start out with Moses' first question. What if? Oh Lord, what if they don't believe me? What if? And then the first thing I want you to understand about what if is it's a hypothetical condition. How many times have you heard people say, what if? What if I went to that church? What if I gave my heart to Christ? What would my friends do? You know, I mean, that's kind of Moses right here. Lord, what if? And I've got to admit, that's kind of the mentality of people. You'll sit where you are today, and God will deal with your heart to make a commitment to Him. And that what if will be there. Nothing new. If you're one that's called to preach, you'll say, what if? What if you send me to the other side of the world? If you're a preacher, you'll say, what if? Lord, nobody wants to hear me preach. If God's calling you to be a witness, you're going to say, Lord, what if I make them mad by talking to them about Jesus? What if I say something wrong? There's always a what if. But I want you to grab from the very beginning that what if does not exist. It is a condition that is not real. And that should never keep you from doing anything. Okay? What if is a figment of your imagination? Now I understand, you know, Moses at this time, he's not an example, a shining example of faith. He's timid. He's afraid. But God's not worried about with what he is right now. He's worried about what he's going to cause him to become. But he's got to deal with the what if. And God is so gracious. God is so gracious. And, you know, I look at it at this point, I'm thinking, well, God, you just need to slap Moses around a little bit and get him in line. But God is so gracious. He addresses Moses and he gives him three signs that they or the children of Israel might believe. Starts with the snakes, the sign of the snake. And he asked Moses, what's in your hand? Moses said, a rod. God said, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground. It became a snake. And did you notice what Moses did? He got out of Dodge. He ran. So you know he's a sane man, right? Only good snake's a dead one. I've said that before. But this has got to get his attention. Then God said, pick it up. Pick it up by the tail, Moses. Now that's the wrong way to pick up a snake. Okay, first of all, you get him behind the head where he can't bite you. And God says, pick him up. Moses reaches down and takes that snake. And it becomes a rod. And right now I'm thinking, oh wow, this is cool, right? This is good stuff. God didn't stop there. God went on. Gave him a second sign. He said, Moses, if they don't believe that one, he said, I want you to put your hand to your chest. Moses puts his hand to his chest and he pulls his hand out and it's leprous. It's diseased. It's white like snow. Now that would catch your attention, wouldn't it? God said, put it back. He puts it back in his chest, pulls it out. And it's restored like the other flesh. Right now I'm thinking, oh, this is beyond cool. This will cause anybody to believe whatever. Right? Then he goes to the third sign. He says, if the first sign doesn't work, if the second sign doesn't work, then take water out of the river and pour it on dry ground, and it will become his blood. All that they may believe. So God's answering the what if question. But you know the real problem here? The real problem here was not what if they don't believe me. The real problem was Moses didn't believe. And what God gave Moses here was not only ammunition so when he got to the children of Israel, he gave Moses a faith builder. Three faith builders here. Each of these were intended to be something that would cause Moses to say, okay, I'm ready to go. I can use what God has given me. The sign of the snake, the leprous hand, the water into blood. Moses needed to see God take some ordinary stuff and make them extraordinary. That's what happened. I mean, you get a rod. And I love how God spoke to Moses and said, what is in your hand? He made Moses look at that rod. It's just a stick. Throw it to the ground. He threw it on the ground. It became a snake. Now this is great stuff. This is a powerful God. Your hand, Moses. What's special about your hand? Oh, nothing. Put it in your chest. Pull it out. It's leprous. Put it in. Take it out. It's not. Wow. You know what God is doing? He's not only preparing Moses for when he gets there, he's preparing Moses to leave. He's preparing Moses to say, okay, I can depend on God to do great things with the ordinary things that I have. And that's the first thing I want you to get with this message today. I started out with, let's consider that God has a call on your life. The first thing you're going to have to get over is the what ifs. There are no what ifs with God. Okay? God is not the God of the what ifs. He knows what is and He knows what will be. And He's going to provide every step of the way. The thing is, you need confidence that that's going to happen. Okay? Now let me ask you, if you're a child of God, God has evidenced Himself in your life in some shape, form, or fashion. There has been a time that you have known that God intervened in your life. And the only explanation was God intervened. I want to tell you, there was a time in my ministry that was very difficult. And I'm not sharing this with you to whine. I'm sharing this with you to glorify God. But I went through the 7-year tribulation period in about 3.5 years. There were people in my office every day complaining and whining. And praise God, it's not here. Okay? I'm not talking about here. It's just some point in history. But there were people in my office complaining every day. They didn't like the growth of the church. They didn't like the direction the church was going. They didn't like me. That's okay, I could deal with that. But then there was an attack on my finances and I went through a period of a couple of years there that, boy, it was just tough and I didn't know how we were going to make it. And if that wasn't enough, Satan began attacks on my family. And it was satanic attack. Okay, I mean, I knew what it was when it was going on and it was things beyond my control. I knew it was an attack from hell. And after about 3 years, I was getting pretty edgy. Then I got sick. And didn't know why I was sick. I was just permanently sick. And if you visited with me very long, you know I've got a gluten intolerance thing. That's what we discovered. But it just made me sick. And so for an extended period of time, everything was going wrong. Everything. But you know what I discovered? What I learned was that the attacks from church members were not important. The religious have always been attacking Jesus. I learned that the finances were not important. Jesus got fish money from a fish's mouth. I learned that Satan's attacks were not important because he may win a battle or two, but beloved, we're going to win the war. I learned that the health is not an issue because God is the great physician. You know what I learned? I mean really learned that helped me. What I really learned that helped me is that God is always faithful. Always. That yes, He may let you be pushed. Yes, He may let you be pressed. But God will not let you fall. Because the only way I got through that was by the grace of God. I love the Scripture. Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. If you're going to take this first step of answering God's call, you're going to have to deal with the what ifs. And the way you deal with the what ifs is you realize that the God that is calling you is the God of the universe. And no matter what's ahead in the future, He will never be taken by surprise. There is never a what if with God. And He can equip and provide whatever you need wherever you are. There are no what ifs with God. Answer the call. Second thing. What about? Moses, that wasn't enough. What ifs, you know? What about? What about God? You probably haven't thought of this. I love the way He's addressing God here. You didn't know this, God. But I can't speak. I'm not good at speaking. That is the worst thing that you could possibly ask me to do. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. If we were to translate it in our language, Moses said, I'm not now nor have I ever been a man of words. And literally in the Hebrew, it says, God, I have a heavy mouth and a heavy tongue. He didn't know the right things to say in the right situations. Speaking before a crowd made him extremely uncomfortable. And I love the way he addresses God. God, you didn't know this, but I can't talk. I can't is the key word there. You see, you may not be able to do what God's calling you to do. As a matter of fact, you probably cannot do what God's calling you to do. But that is the great thing about our God. You can't, but God can. All right? You can't, but God can. You see, God did not ask Moses if he was a good speaker. God did not ask Moses to know the right things to say and just the right circumstances or situations. You know what God told Moses to do? God said to Moses, go, you're going to lead my people. And that's all Moses had to worry about. I love the way God responded. It was like God said, Moses, who made man's mouth? Who made the mute? Who made the deaf? Who made the seeing and the blind? Who's the one that created man? Now, Moses, I did. I created you. Not only did I create you, I created you the way you are. I know how you are, Moses. And I'll be the one that provides what you need. I will teach your mouth what to say. You see, it's a matter of trust here. It's a matter of coming down to that point where you say, okay, God, I trust you. And I want to share with you today, God knows your limitations. Okay? He knows what you can and what you cannot do. And God is faithful to equip you in all situations. You know what I love? I love doing things you can't do. You know why? Because then people look at you and say, it's got to be God. It's got to be God because He can't do that. It's got to be God that's building a church. It's got to be God that's reaching people. It's got to be God in that ministry because He's just a dumb old country boy. You know what? That's why I surrendered to the ministry anyway. To glorify our great God. So that people could see how awesome our God is. It is not your job to determine whether you can or cannot do what God calls you to do. That is not your job. Your job is to surrender. It's God's job to equip you to go to work. And He can do that. And He will do that. You can't, but God can. You see, you hear today people, and it's taught in schools, believe in yourself. You can do anything. Believe in yourself. No, you can't do anything. You can't. That's a lie. I know your teacher told you that. She didn't mean to lie to you, but she did. Okay. You can't do anything. But the God that you serve can. Okay. And all He wants to do is to work through you. So don't take this, Lord, what about attitude and start naming your inadequacies, because God already knows what you cannot do. And God doesn't want to show people what you can do. God wants to show people what He can do through you. There's a big difference. But then we move on. I love the last part here. Oh, but Lord. And I just see that. And this is so real. Why can't you just find someone else? Lord, please, just find somebody else. Please. Someone other than me. See, at this point, Moses is out of objections. And God has answered each objection point by point. No longer does Moses have to worry about the what ifs. No longer does Moses have to worry about the what about his inadequacies. All that's gone. God's answered. And now the true heart of Moses is revealed. And the true heart of Moses is, he just didn't want to. Lord, please send anybody but me. Anybody but me. How many times as a pastor I've asked people, can you do this? Can you serve in this office? And you know what the response is? If you can't find anyone else, I'll do it. Lord, send anyone but me. Here's what you need to grasp, and I've said this several times, but I'm going to say it again. God's not trying to mess up your life. Okay? He's trying to give it meaning. He's trying to give you, He's trying to bless you. And it's not okay to refuse God. As a matter of fact, when you refuse the call of God, what you're saying is, Lord, just bless somebody other than me. Literally. Lord, choose somebody else to bless. I was looking at this, and if you'll notice in the text that we read, it said, okay, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? And it's the first time you hear the term Levite in the Bible. There are a lot of people who think that God had reserved that position for Moses, that priestly position. But at this point, God says, okay, I'm going to give it to Aaron because he's not going to give me so much rejection and so much problem. Now, I realize that's a little speculative, but I do know this. I do know that there is great blessing in obedience to the call of God. Okay? And when you refuse God, Satan will lie to you and he'll give you the what ifs and the what abouts and all that. It's a lie from hell. What God wants to do in your life is to bless you. I had people when I surrendered to ministry, and you know, they said, "You're crazy. You're crazy." And that's a quote. Preachers, have you ever heard that? You're crazy. What are you thinking? Well, you know what? I'm not thinking. I'm thinking God's called and I'm going to answer. Now I want to ask you this. We started with, I want to introduce the idea to you today. that God has a call upon your life. Understand, as you deal with God, you can come up with the excuses, you can come up with the whatabouts and the what ifs. But the bottom line is, somewhere along the way, Satan has convinced you that you don't want to do it. You don't want to answer God's call. You don't want to serve Him. I remind you, Satan is a liar. He is seeking whom he may devour. He wants to mess up your life, not God. Don't listen. What he's going to do is to rob you of the blessings of being obedient to God's call. Now, when I say God's call, I understand everybody here is not called to preach. I understand that, but you may be. Everybody here is not called to teach a Sunday school class, but there are some who are, and there are some who are rebelling. Everybody here, I mean, we're all called in our different areas. You may be called to be in the music ministry and to be in that choir. Then get in the choir, say yes, but Brother Doug, I don't want to go to practice every week. Don't tell God you don't want to. He's the one that equipped you and gave you the talents. You may be called into to the college ministry. But Brother Doug, those college kids stay up late at night. Yes, they do. Bless them. Good for them. But I want to tell you something. If God calls you to college ministry, there's nobody that will bless your heart like college kids. Answer the call. Finally, God says, okay, Moses, here's the deal. I'm giving you Aaron. Now get on the road and get with it. Get off the mountain like we talked about last week. Friends, we've been introducing this study for the last 2 weeks. And today it's time to get off the mountain. Today it's time to answer God's call. Today it's time to be what God calls you. Okay? Maybe you're here today and you need to, first of all, you need to be saved. You've never made a commitment to Christ. Oh, listen, beloved, there's one thing I'm 100% sure of. God is calling you to salvation. He has brought you here today because heaven is real and hell is real. He has brought you here today to learn that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave His life on Calvary for you because He loves you. And to share with you that if you'll ask Him, He'll save you. Now get rid of the excuses, the what ifs and the what abouts. Throw that out the window. Realize Satan's trying to mess up your life, and say yes to God and be saved today. You may be here and there's another call on your life. You know, a call of faithfulness, a call to be a teacher, a call to preach. God has a claim on your life. Why have you been running? Why? Because you're going to find that your joy of spirituality, your Christian joy, you're going to find is in serving your God where He calls you. That's where you're going to have peace. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. What I want to challenge you today is to say yes to God. Okay? It's that simple. If I were to walk up to you and say, will you do this for me? If it were within reason, you'd probably tell me, well, yes, Brother Doug, I'll do that for you. God's calling you today. And He's saying, will you be my witness? Will you preach my message? Will you be my representative in a Bible study class? Will you? Then you got to answer is yes or no. Choice is yours. Please say yes. That's where the joy of Christ is. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to look into Your Word and understand Your Word and have an example. Because, Lord, we look at examples like Moses and we haven't changed. We make excuses. We Lord, we refuse to follow. So now in this service, Lord, I pray that You'll remove the excuses. That You'll take away the what ifs and the what abouts. That, Lord, You'll remove the attitude of just get somebody else. And that everyone present here today, everyone present, Lord, will say, here am I, Lord, send me. I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.